This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy? Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Welcome back. Midday Show. Hugh Douglas, Joe Giglio live from Clearwater at Phillies spring training. And joining us right now, Phillies catcher JT Realmuto. JT, how you doing, man?
Doing good. Doing good. Just grinding through the dog days of spring training, ready to get the season started.
You know what's funny, JT, speaking of that, because I'm fascinated. You're going into your 11th season. What do you do to help keep your body as fresh, and how has your workout regimen changed as you gotten older?
A lot, actually, honestly. I've actually started working out more often as I've gotten older, mm-hmm. just with less exercises in there. So when I was younger, I always loved working out as something that I enjoy doing, but I would kind of wait for my off days and then get like a nice, like an hour long big lift in, like really work hard on my off days, and mm-hmm. not really work out at all during the days I played. Now I've kind of learned to feel better throughout the whole season and just to be more consistent with my workouts. I just do it every single day. Right after the game, I'll go in and do three exercises. It's a lot shorter, but it's a lot more manageable, and it's easier for me to stay routine. And I found that that just keeps my body fresh throughout the season.
So, by the way, happy belated birthday, right? Last week? A couple days ago? Yeah? 33? Yeah,
don't remind me.
All right. We'll leave the number out.
Come on, man. 33 is not old, dog. That's not old.
In baseball years, I'm a dinosaur.
and as a catcher, usually that would – so. Do you think about that? I mean, we talk about it all the time. You catch a lot. I mean, you caught 130 the last 2 years. Seems like you want to do that again. Most catchers, they get to your age, and I won't say the number again, that either wanes or they don't play as well anymore. Do you think about it? Like, does that creep in, or do you just do your thing and you don't worry about, hey, I'm getting older now?
Yeah, I don't worry too much about it just because my body still feels good. And to be honest, with the last couple of years, my body has felt better in August and September than it was when I was 27, 28, just because I'm learning myself and learning new routines and learning how to be more efficient and stay fresh for the whole season. Obviously, Father Time's coming for all of us, so it's going to slow down eventually, but I haven't felt that yet, so I don't think about it too much. I just keep going, keep trying to keep my body in the best position that it can be to be productive throughout the whole season, and that's kind of all I really focus on right now.
You know that number that you said that we can't say. How long do you think, like in your mind, in the way that you feel right now, how many more good quality years do you think that you have left?
Honestly, I wouldn't put a number on it just because right now I feel like my body's still in peak condition that it's ever been. I feel as good as I've ever felt. Realistically, like I want to play as long as I can, while still being productive. So once my production starts dipping, I'm not going to be a guy who's like, oh, I still got to play 140 games. Like I want to, it's not ego driven. I just want to be there to help the team. And when I'm the best option behind the plate, I want to catch as many games as I can to give my team a chance to win. And my goal is to do that as long as I can, but I don't necessarily have a number for it.
I know you don't want to put a number on it, so I'm going to help you out a little bit. I'll put a number on it. So I'm feeling like just by talking to you and listening to what you're saying, 5 years? Do you feel comfortable if I said 5 more years on your career? Does that sound something like that's doable for you?
That's absolutely doable, yeah, for sure.
Okay, so 40 is no thing for you then, like to your 40. Well, to that number that, you know, that 40 number.
that mystical number. Yeah, I can get there. I believe I can. It doesn't mean I will, but I'm gonna do everything I can to be in the best position to play well, and you know, when I'm 40 years old.
We're with JT Realmuto here at Philly Spring Training. So, JT, tell us about the biomechanics lab. We saw a story a couple weeks ago that you kind of went into the lab this offseason, and they try to help you maybe change your swing or tweak some things. What was that like? People hear that, they think, like, what is he doing? Like, what did you change, or what did you try to change with your swing this offseason?
Yeah, the biomechanic word always gets people alarmed and makes it seem like it's a lot more than what it was. Essentially, we got in there. What it does is give you numbers and outputs that you can't you can feel in your swing, but you can't necessarily see. So, like, what was happening over time, I had gotten to some swing flaws where my weight was getting a little too far back in my load. So that would cause my leg lift to go a little higher just because I was so far back, I had to have more time to get to center. And that would just cause my timing to be late a lot. So what we did was we got on the force plates, and it showed me where all my pressure was coming from, where the power output was. And that was able to I was able to make adjustments off of that just to get a little more centered in my load. The swing's still the same. I'm a little wider, which it's almost the exact same swing I had in 2018. So it's not necessarily anything crazy new. It's just kind of getting back to where I was when I felt my best. And that was a little more centered, a little more grounded, and able to use the forces of the ground more often.
I'm kind of curious about that, because how many repetitions does it take for you to get comfortable with the kind of new mechanics that you have with your swing?
It was a lot, yeah. I started swinging almost 2 weeks after the season, so it was the fastest I've ever gotten into the cages in an off season, just because I knew I wanted to make some adjustments. I didn't feel good about my swing last year, so I don't know the number of swings, but it was 3 to 4 days a week every week early in the off season. Then as the off season progressed, it was even more.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time, the roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
You know, you said something about, like, starting earlier in the season. Was that kind of driven by what happened at the end of last season? You know, since we're using a lot of innuendos, is that kind of one of the reasons why you got started a little bit early? Because, you know, the way the season ended kind of left a sour taste in your mouth?
Certainly. And for me, it was honestly my whole season. Like, I actually felt better in the postseason than I did in the regular season. So, like, mine was driven just by how I felt. I didn't feel like I was near as consistent as I could have been in the regular season because I had some swing flaws that were very fixable. But also, yes, the taste of the postseason and how things ended just gave me a little more drive to be like, hey, we got to figure this out. We can't let this happen again. Let's make ourselves the best we can for next year.
So speaking of that, I mean, expectations are gigantic. I mean, I know you guys can't wait to get home. People are so excited for this team, for opening day next week. Do you guys talk about it? Like, you know, I was talking to Hugh earlier about his teams with the Eagles, you know, back in the day. Like, they got close, right? And then I always ask him, like, did you guys talk about winning the Super Bowl when you got close? Like, in spring training, I know we all know what the goal is. Do you guys talk about winning the World Series, or is it more of a day-by-day, let's just do our work, and it's kind of unspoken? What is it like for you guys when we all know what your goal is?
No, it's definitely not unspoken. We talk about it all the time. There's multiple guys in the clubhouse who just this spring training be like, man, I can't wait to win the World Series. Like, we'll talk about what it's going to be like when we win. Like, we're trying to put that vision in everybody's mind that, like, we are going to win the World Series. We had the vision last year. It obviously didn't happen for us. But if we stay together, if we stay healthy, if we keep that mindset, everybody in this clubhouse truly believes we will win a World Series, and that's the ultimate goal. So it's not some spooky monster in the corner that we don't want to talk about. It's we talk about it every day. It's our goal. It's what we put in our minds, and it's what we want to achieve.
Let's talk about the first goal, though, that I'm sure is making the playoffs and winning the division. So the last 2 years, you guys have gone great runs without winning the division. Is winning the division a goal for you guys? Obviously, you haven't needed to, right? You've gone through the Braves in the playoffs. But how about winning the division? Is that something you guys think about, talk about, focus on? Because it's been this weird thing where the division winners, like Atlanta, they've gotten knocked out early. You guys, as a wild card, have gotten further. Some people are like, well, they don't even need to win the division. I want you guys to win the division. Is that a big goal?
Of course. I'm tired of seeing the Braves win the division.
Yeah, we all
it's
are,
like
too.
Every year, we're 10 games back, not even with a chance. So that's absolutely our first goal, is to win the division and kind of dethrone those guys, because they've had such a good run at it. And they've been such a good team in the regular season, and we feel like we're every bit as good as them. There's no reason we shouldn't be able to compete with them and beat them for the division. We just have to, first of all, get off to a better start and then just be more consistent throughout the season. We're clearly, you can see it when we get in the postseason. We have all the talent in the world. We have the team that can win every single game of the regular season. You're obviously never going to do that, but we just have to change our mindset in the regular season and be a little more consistent over the 162 and be that team that we are in the postseason for the whole year.
Speaking of that, has there been conversation about getting off to a quicker start?
Yeah, I mean, geez, I can't go a day without the media asking me about it.
So I'm talking about with the team. Yeah.
It is a conversation for sure. And like I said, if we want a chance to win the division, we have to start better. We've gotten off the bad starts 2 years in a row and then obviously picked it up in the second half. But there's no reason we shouldn't be that team in the first half. The first couple of months, we just have to get a better start, get a little momentum on our side, and then we'll have a lot better chance of competing with the Braves for the division.
But what about that? But see, this is the thing that I was telling Joe about being the division winner. And I know that's a great goal to have, but that 5 days off, that's kind of hurt the Braves, in my opinion. How do you feel about that, having that rest period before the series starts?
In my opinion, rest is, I mean, it's never a bad thing in baseball. I think you get healthy. Obviously, you go a few days without at-bats, but there's ways you can combat that by scrimmaging, facing your own arms, stuff like that. I would rather have the 5 days off and go straight to that division series than have to play a wild card series and take a chance of getting knocked out. So, yes, our goal is to win the division. We'd rather have those 5 days off than not.
JT, obviously a lot of your work is what you do at the plate, but a lot what you do behind the plate as a catcher. Who stood out to you? Give us a couple names, pitchers that just you felt it, like their stuff is popping this spring training.
Gosh, it's hard to not say Wheeler just because his stuff is always popping and he always looks really good. I've been really encouraged by Ranger this spring training. He's looked his stuff has been – he's always had really good stuff, but he's had really good command this spring, kind of the 2 year ago Ranger command that we saw, that he was just putting the ball right where he wants to. That's kind of how he's been this spring training. He's been exciting to watch. Alvarado's looked good. I think Sir Anthony's kind of taken a step forward again, and his slider looks like it's a little better than it was last year, which I thought that was his biggest issue was the slider command and being able to get guys off of his fastball a little bit. And I've been encouraged to see the work he's done this offseason.
You know, JT, I just got a little bit of piece of information. Found out you were a three-sport athlete. So if you weren't playing baseball, would you rather be an NFL quarterback or a champion Olympic wrestler?
Ooh, probably an NFL quarterback because they make way more money than wrestlers do.
No, but, dude, you wait. Like, baseball players make way more money.
Not than the quarterbacks.
Yeah, the quarterbacks do make a lot of money.
I would definitely say quarterback. I love baseball was always my love, like the sport I loved the most growing up, but I've never had more fun than Friday Night Lights playing football. I mean, just looking back to this day, those were some of the most fun times I ever had was the adrenaline rush that you get before a football game is just non – it doesn't compare to anything.
So what kind of quarterback was JT Rimlinger? Dual threat, runner, or more using your
pocket
arm?
Pass?
No, I was kind of more dual threat. Like, I was very raw as a quarterback. I didn't even start playing quarterback till my sophomore year, so I was more of an athlete than a quarterback. Mm-hmm. So I ran a lot, but I could throw it as well. It was more dual threat than anything. I definitely wasn't like a true pocket passer.
What was your team growing up?
I didn't necessarily have an NFL team because I grew up in Oklahoma and we didn't have one. And I didn't want to root for the Cowboys just because everybody else did in Oklahoma.
Seemed like you were destined for Philadelphia your whole life.
Exactly. So like all my friends rooted for Dallas Cowboys, but I never did. I was more of a college football fan. I was a big Oklahoma State Cowboys fan.
Okay.
That's where all my family kind of went to school. So I grew up going to their games and rooting for them a lot.
All right, JT, let's end with this. We do appreciate JT Romuto with us here at spring training. We always love the audio. We played it forever. The 13 more topper, right? When you guys made the playoffs in 2022, where did that come from? That was that just off the cuff? Like is that really kind of set the stage for that postseason and what you guys did last 2 Octobers? That was the moment I felt that this city is like, man, they're back. The Phillies are back. What was that like when you gave that little speech there with Topper 13 more?
Yeah, it was a pretty special moment. Honestly, it just kind of naturally happened after we clinched in Tampa. I walked up to him like, and during the celebration, I was like, "Hey, we got 13 more wins. Let's do this." You know, it was just like a small conversation. I wasn't thinking anything of it, and he said, "Hey, I'm going to ask you in the celebration speech how many more wins we got, and you let the team know." And so it just happened then. And then after every single series, he didn't even mention it again. He just kept asking, and so just kind of became this thing. And yeah, it was pretty cool. I enjoy being a part of that.
Yeah, the countdown is awesome. JT, we appreciate you hopping on. Good luck this season, and we're all rooting for you, and we're expecting big things this year. Thank you, JT.
Thanks, guys.
Appreciate it. Bills.
That was fun. JT Realmuto. And Hugh, and welcome, and, you know, listen, everyone, listen to JT talk.